This is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. This week saw an historic gathering of world leaders at United Nations headquarters in New York for unprecedented meetings on reform, world terrorism, and poverty. Mark Malik Brown joins us now to review the week's events and outcome. Mr. Malik Brown is the chief of staff to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. Mr. Malik Brown, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the reform document. So much made about that over the course and leading into this week. Talk to me about what you ended up with and how you think that will impact the United Nations.
Well, it was a pretty good outcome, despite some disappointment in the press and amongst diplomats, because the basic structure of what we asked for, which was a package deal covering development, security, and human rights, large parts of it we got. We got a huge increase over the next few years in development assistance to meet the Millennium Development Goals and support to a development-oriented trade round in a few months' time when trade negotiators reassemble. On the security side, we got common action against terrorism, and on human rights, we got and we also got a peace-building commission to follow up on the problems of failed states and the responsibility to intervene, a principle we've been struggling to get for years, which means countries would have to intervene when a genocide is occurring to stop it, like in Rwanda or former Yugoslavia. We got all that together with a Human Rights Council and a strengthened human rights machinery. What we failed to get was as much as we wanted on stopping weapons of mass destruction.
Mr. Malik Brown, let's talk a little bit about the image of the United Nations. I think it's fair to say that over the course of the last 12 months or so, one can see that it has been tainted with the Iraq Oil for Food report and scandal, some say. Talk to me about the idea that Kofi Annan has suggested that he has accepted what the report had to say and that there is accountability for management failures, etc. How much do you believe you still have a ways to go, if you will, to polish back up what is clearly seen now as a tarnished image?
Yeah, well, I think it's more than a polishing job. I think the Volcker report into oil for food, which the Secretary General had himself commissioned, is a terrible indictment of management weakness in the organization, of the fact that it doesn't have the management systems or the financial resources or the independent oversight and audit to carry out these big multi-billion dollar programs appropriately. A lot of other bits of the UN agencies like UNICEF and the UN Development Program do, but the Central Secretariat was found seriously wanting. The Secretary General, in accepting responsibility, recognizes management failures of his own, but understands that the lesson of the Volcker Report is this overriding structural report. So key to this week's summit was to get the agreement of member states for widespread management reform of the organization. And we didn't get everything we want in that area, but we got enough to make the changes we think are necessary to re-equip the UN to take on these worldwide operational tasks that governments now ask of it.
The world is a different world than we knew when the United Nations was created. Talk to me about what the United Nations has to do to remain viable. Some are suggesting that it is an organization that may have already outlived its usefulness. What has to be done to shore up the idea that this is still a viable and vibrant organization?
Well, I think you could sort of put it under two headings: the governance of the organization, the way member states share power with each other and negotiate with each other, and the management of the organization. First, on governance, for dozens and dozens and dozens of small states, I tell you, they don't see it as irrelevant. It is a unique place where they can put across their point of view, where they feel they have some standing as nations. But, and this is the problem, the 1945 arrangement of the UN concentrated power in the hands of the permanent members such as the US. And in recent years, particularly since the Iraq War, smaller countries have felt very marginalized in the decision-making of the organization. And the US and others, understandably impatient with decisions made by 191 countries have tended to exacerbate that by demanding more concentration of power in places like the Security Council that they control. So there's something of a kind of existential crisis of how the organization is governed going on. At the management level, when it began, it was largely about diplomatic efforts as an organization, running conferences, writing reports, and it's moved from that to carrying out mega global operations. Oil for Food is one, but tsunami relief, 16 peacekeeping operations around the world with more than 70,000 troops deployed in support of them, to potential future organizations like a global response to avian flu if it breaks out of its China redoubt. And nobody else can take on these global tasks, but the organization is not managerially equipped yet to do them as well as all of us want to see it happen. So we've got to solve both problems, governance and management, if we're to make the organization relevant for the future.
One of the key issues this week was world poverty, and a great deal of that attention was heaped upon the continent of Africa. Talk to me about what you came out of this conference with.
This has been an astonishing year for world poverty, in fact, because starting with the G8 meeting in Gleneagles, and even before that with a meeting of European leaders, we've had a steady step up to the summit this week. And what that has allowed us to see now is $50 billion of extra aid for poor countries by 2010. That means a doubling of aid to Africa. It does depend primarily on increases by Europe. Sadly, the U.S., despite generosity in the last few years on the aid front, is not growing at anything like the same pace. But it does mean that we are getting the resources locked in to meet the Millennium Development Goals. And this week, for the first time, George Bush and his administration, who've held out from the global consensus in favor of these goals, joined in. The president unequivocally, in speaking to the General Assembly, said, "We support the Millennium Development Goals." That's more than just rhetoric. It's a major change of positioning by the U.S., which is a huge relief to the rest of the development community. They're joining the team. And so, you know, I think development has perhaps had the best week of all in terms of an issue here at New York.
Finally, if you will, could you tell me the temperature of the United States there as seen by others? Talk to me about how the president was received and how his controversial appointment, John Bolton, was received.
Well, you know, the president's speech was the best UN speech he's given in his years in office. It was multilateralist. It was grateful to countries who'd come in to help after Katrina. So I think the speech was enormously well received. Second, everybody here recognizes that the U.S. is essential to any deal on almost anything. And so securing U.S. agreement is always a prime goal of any negotiating and diplomatic exercise here. John Bolton, well, he arrived in, you know, with a lot of controversy surrounding him. He, you know, jumped into the negotiations of this summit outcome with some positions which were initially seen as hard line, but which he always insisted were those of a good poker player playing to get the best deal at the end of the day. And we got a deal, and, you know, I think he must feel that the negotiating outcome was better than it would have been if he'd not jumped in. All that said, though, it is fair to say that there is a lot of animosity towards United States sort of raw assertion of power here, and the U.S. has to kind of look hard at that if it is to be as effective as it could in a multilateral forum like this. It's got to learn to give occasionally, not just take in terms of negotiations.
Mark Malik Brown is the Chief of Staff to United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan. Thank you for the review of an extraordinary week, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.